not live and coming to you from the fabulous Sunset Boulevard in Hollywood, California. It's the Bob Dean Show. Yay. I want to let everybody know that for our standards, it is 99 degrees in Hollywood, and that is absolutely outrageous for us. It is. So drink water, and God bless and pray for the northern part of the state, which is completely engulfed in flames. It's a horrible situation. Other than that, let's talk about everything. I would like to let you all know that I won't be appearing anywhere in the next couple of weeks, but I'll let you know when. Our guest tonight is Miss Annie DeSalvo. And, of course, Kathy St. George. Woo-hoo! And Dennis Olson. And a special shout-out to Zach Herndon. And Sammy Junior and Joe White. Hello. It is so stinking hot, just like it was last week, y'all. So we'll probably make this short show. We're going to just do... But as I was going through our dingy bachelor pad, looking for some documents that I needed to re-register the convertible that caught on fire, I found this. The Sophisticated Traveler from the New York Times. Oh yeah. And also... I mentioned this when the camera was on me like this. I look like a walrus with a man bun. I was wearing that polo shirt. It was all like scrunchy. Anyway, so this is the Sophisticated Traveler where they did a thing about Nashville, Tennessee, probably 25 years ago. Anyway, I'll look at it. It says, Bob Dean, Shirley bartender at Mirror, created the cocktail, the Bob Deany. It's old and bitter and served ice cold, just like his heart. It's a fact. I would look for the page, but it's just too damn hot. And this is a restaurant that Michael and Colleen DeGregory owned on 12th Avenue South in Nashville, Tennessee, which is now the hottest place in the whole wide world. Yakety, yakety, yak. But anyway, I wanted to come in and share that with y'all. Now, Annie DeSalvo. Mm. Kathy St. George introduced me to you one night at the you know, my rent paying job. Mm-hmm. And then you guys were kind enough. Well, you're such a big supporter, but you came to the Laugh Factory and saw my show.
I did. You were hilarious.
Thank you very much.
Very, very funny and very outspoken.
And you saw though, I would like, you have such a one, if I may flatter you.
Sure.
Such a wonderful, wonderful career that continues to grow.
Thank you.
1979 was your first premiere on, I wrote it down in my book here.
We take notes.
Well, I take notes, but I am, and you're in the Attack of the 5'2" Women with Julie Brown. Hello. You are.
Yeah, but 1979, I did film work before 79.
But it was your film premiere, according to your IMDb page.
No, it wasn't.
Well, then correct me, because you're friggin' fabulous. You were in Tonya Harley and Lenore Babbitt. You were Gloria LeBeck in Cheers. You've been on Tracy Ullman. But please tell me about being Mrs. Delpino on Doogie Howser.
That's something that I don't even that I hardly ever think about. Not that I think about anything I've done. I haven't even seen a couple of movies that I've done because I don't like to watch myself.
I don't either. I don't really.
I don't enjoy it. I know people like, oh, come look at me. You know, it's like, I'm like, yeah.
The reason I ask is because Mrs. Del, she was referred to you quite a bit, and it was probably like maybe one of the only times she was ever focused on, you know, visually. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, Vinny Delpino was always climbing up and down and going to Doogie's room. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And living in Brentwood. Mm-hmm. Where they actually mm-hmm. had access to parking. But no, it's just really cool. There's so much. The Tonight Show, you've been in Arthur.
Right.
You were Gloria.
Right. The hooker.
The hooker.
Yeah. I'll tell you a very funny story about Arthur. Originally Jane Greenwood, who's one of the biggest costume designers, wardrobe people in Manhattan at the time. She's still very big. I think she's still alive and still working because I saw her win something recently. Anyway, for the hooker, I had this dress with, you know, down one side and a big slit on the side and gigantic high heels. And
Sort of like you, Kathy.
Yeah, I'm dressed right. Like that.
And so we drove around Lower Manhattan one night, and we were looking at prostitutes, you know, and watching what they were wearing. And she said they all seemed to like those shiny pants, you know. And so we just, but we had my wardrobe, and we had gone out and bought it and everything. So then I go in to shoot the evening when he picks me up on the corner, and she had these red flashy pants, you know, the satin ones. At that time, this was 1978, 79.
Oh, they were huge then.
And you know, and I, so she's, so I tried them on, and she said, you know, they look good on you, you know. And I said, oh, no, I couldn't wear these. She said, why not? I said, because I couldn't walk in front of the crew, you know, with this. It's too tight. And, you know, I just, you know, I said, you could see a goosebump. And she's like, the crew, you wear, what do you wear? So then there was a African-American / black woman who was the other hooker. And she said, well, if you're not going to wear them, I'm going to wear them. And I said, you know what? I'll
She's not having her look better.
And those pants wound up becoming famous. You know, I wish I had kept them, and I would have given them to a charity function or something. And that was such a, you know, so many women were seen for that role. The casting director told me, and they had gone through, you know, real waspy girls and Hispanic and black. And I had gone to St. Bart's, and I had just come back. My agent called and said, you know, Julia Taylor wants to see you for this role, blah, blah, blah. And I said, oh, I don't want to go in tomorrow. I just got back. And he said, you know, just go in. Just go in. It's a short meeting. Just read and you leave. And I said, okay. So I went in. I read. I get back home, and my agent said, you got it. And I said, I got it. And it became one of the most signature things that I've done. And I had such a great time doing it.
And listen, your biography, your portfolio is so impressive with everything. But Arthur, it's pretty damn cool.
It is cool. I've signed more.
And if I may say, you and you both have smoking figures.
Well, thank you.
But you were saying.
As it turns out, I signed so many releases for film museums of all kinds. Because they, you know, it's in the Hall of Fames, and that movie, you know, Dudley did such a magnificent job. He was so at the top of his game, and John Gielgud. And I come in the morning, my dressing room was between John Gielgud and Dudley Moore, who was playing the piano. And Sir John was over there reading a book. Good morning, Anne. You know, and it was really a very special experience.
I love that movie.
Yeah.
And how was Liza Minnelli to work with?
I didn't have any scenes with her, but
I'm not sure I understand.
I hate
either.
Siri.
I thought I could turn this damn thing off. Forgive me, this is my fault.
I've had this phone for 3 years, and I pressed a button the other day, and it goes, hi, Bob, how can Google help you? And I was like, ah.
I said a cuss word the other day, and my phone said, Kathy, you have a potty mouth. And my phone, and I hadn't even been touching my phone. And I'm like, oh, my God, they're listening to us.
We're doomed.
You have a potty mouth.
You're so doomed. They're watching my hairy back from outer space.
Yeah, Liza was, you know, I mean, I used to hang out with her at Cafe Central, yeah. Kathy and I go back 100 years. I don't even want to think. We better not say.
No, we won't. Sandbox.
But she's
sandbox
the best.
And listen, Kathy St. George, I am so, listen, I am so proud that we are friends. I feel like I've known you forever. I met you at the bar, where, you know, my rent-paying job at Wolfgang Steakhouse.
He makes an amazing drink.
Amazing cosmopolitan.
Yeah, well, exactly. Because I'm hustling a tip. The point being, though, is that the first time we said hello, we were talking about station wagons, and you told me about your 1968.
68 Ford Squire.
Ford
size
Squire,
of a hearse.
Gold and wood grain.
Parallel
right?
Park it with one hand.
And then the next time I saw you, you were at my show at the Laugh Factory. And now I feel like I've known you forever, and you're a pretty cool, I was going
to
say bitch.
But I have to have a good personality.
You're pretty cool for a white girl. I love you.
Thank you.
She prefers Caucasian.
Sunburnt is what I am. So what's going on with you, doll? How that chandelier resculpturing?
I'm putting together, I don't know. It's like trying to put earrings together. It's just hard. I'm just trying to spruce up my apartment. I'm trying to spruce up my place, but It's good, you know, except Mercury in retrograde is killing me completely. Everything's breaking. My computers, I can't get anything to work. And then I can't, it's hard for me to drive. So I may just hibernate until the 19th.
Pardon me just for a moment. Ladies and gentlemen. She has this really big groovy car, but she can't seem to keep it off the curb.
There's a reason. I have pictures. I was driving over here and got trapped against a curb by a big semi, and they couldn't get out. And I had to drive up on the curb on the way. So I just forgot that I couldn't do it everywhere.
Well, every time I've seen you pull up to the Bob Dean show, yay. You always go up over the curb.
I'm just so happy to see you.
Thank you. It's your signature move. Yeah, right. Great comeback.
Is it a four-wheel drive?
It is.
Curbs are okay.
I just forgot to put – and you should have seen me going over the speed bumps today when I was going different places. That car's ruined by the time.
Hello. Well, I want to tell everybody, too, that I know you're good because you have the meter is full. But the space that I put in the back, I have no idea how to read those stupid we have to go to the one kiosk. Who came up with the word kiosk? Anyway, you have to go to the kiosk to put your credit card in or your money in to, you know, put your space in. Mm-hmm. And I have no idea.
They do that over in Santa.
It's all over the place. It's right at the back here if we have time or not. It said I had a quarter.
Oh, I have a quarter.
No, I had a quarter.
Oh, okay. That's all I got.
Well, you know, parking tickets are kind of my thing.
Really? Mm. I know. I dodged quite a few of them for a long time.
I tried to get out of the one in Beverly Hills that I got for parking in a red zone in the alley.
Then I had to sell my baby to pay him.
Me too. And I had to steal a baby.
But no college fund now. That's okay.
I told you that joke. Not a joke, but a true story about the guy that came into the bar one time. He comes around to the bar. He's like 28 years old, very nice looking man in a blue blazer and gray slacks. So he walks up to the bar, and before I can even say hello, he goes, "I want a Belvedere martini straight up with blue cheese, olives, and shake it violently." And I went, "Lick your baby."
Shake it violently.
And I said, "Lick your baby." And he was like, and of course,
he would say that too. It's like when I ask him for a drink, I just wait for him to look at me like, I'm so disgusted with you because I make sure it's a hard one.
Well, it's because I always got a hard one for you, but it's like you want those cucumbers and shaved ginger.
I like
cocktails.
Muddled jalapenos in my drinks. Please,
jalapenos are so last.
I bought
year.
A muddler. I'll start bringing my own muddled jalapenos to you.
You know what? It's really not. You know, I shouldn't bitch. I have a really good gig where I work, but it is annoying as hell.
Well, you know, being of service.
No, not you. You're not annoying yourself.
Well,
you're groovy.
Being of service when you're an asshole is hard.
Yeah. I am such a jerk. And there's no secret. You know, there's no secret.
I would probably kill somebody if I was a waitress. I know I would. So I can't do it. I mean, I have to.
Why do you think
dishwasher.
I'm always wearing those disposable gloves? It's not because I'm washing. It's not because I'm washing glasses.
The DNA.
It's for traction and no. I was going to say fingerprints. Just kidding, please. You can dig into my past. You can do whatever. Sue me. I got a cat-stained sofa and a 32-year-old station wagon. Take it all.
He adopts every cat. It's like he's the cat.
Well,
man.
I'm just like what's your poochie's name?
Oh, she would have come, but she's having her hair done. Maybelline.
Maybelline. Maybelline. She comes and does Dennis talks about Maybelline all the time. Maybelline. I love Maybelline. You have to come to the Happy Birthday Baby Jesus cocktail soiree.
It's so much fun.
It's Christmas Eve at our dingy bachelor pad.
Okay.
And it really is a dingy bachelor pad. But it's rent control.
For animals. That's what
Yeah. It's a benefit for the West Pico Humane Association. Mm. Yeah.
I gave a bag of treats that got recalled, so I'm hoping no animals are dead from them. I swear to God, I went, those things I gave you got recalled.
I'm the only one wearing these headphones.
You look so good.
They got recalled.
They got recalled, and they were really expensive. They were True Dog or whatever. It's really expensive.
Well, everything's being recalled. Let's talk about genetically modified everything.
I hope I'm genetically modified.
I'll say. So, Sam and Junia, what's going on over there?
Nothing.
Say hello to
nothing up here either.
Our studio audience. This. Oh, you know what? Where's our hats?
What hat? Oh, we got hats. We got hats.
I cannot believe that I completely forgot that this is the. Oh, oh goodness gracious! Ladies and gentlemen,
not condoms. Right?
Ladies and gentlemen, this, please, is the 50th episode.
Thank you.
Oh.
Put them on. The 50th episode of.
My hat broke.
Wait. I know. 99 cent store made in China.
Story of my life.
Story of my life. Okay, just we really.
We're discussing this. Look, look. I love them. No, I love them.
Okay.
I have them.
It's the 50th episode of the Bob Deaton Show.
Yay.
Thank you, Sammy Junio, Joe White, Zach Herndon, Dennis Olson, Kathy St. George.
Armpit to the camera, sorry.
Andy Salvo. Thank you. 50 episodes and going 50. Strong. Now.
Older than me.
Right. Each guest at the Bob Deaton Show gets to pick from the grab bag a complimentary gift from the 99 cent store on Fairfax. Annie, please be the first.
Oh, yay! I love that.
His severed hand. Kathy St. George.
I want that.
Severed foot. Yay.
I'm going to hang it out of my trunk.
Dennis?
When I'm driving.
Oh, the lucky scarecrow.
It's a brain. A yay. Brain. Oh. Now, I only have one more, so you guys should.
That's a good one, Joe. Though. I felt it. You can use it when you're at home, Joe, alone.
Amazing replica.
That's the grand prize, baby.
And it's lifelike.
Hello, it is lifelike.
It's ergonomic.
It's bleeding down the side, finger. Just like mine, because I used
it. It was some woman who had a wedding ring stolen from
the 50th episode of the Bob Deaton Show.
Happy anniversary.
Yay. And 50 more to come.
Absolutely.
That's really, really, really cool. I want to thank everybody that listens and subscribes and watches now on YouTube. And really, Sammy and Joe and Zach and Dennis and everybody, this is really, it means a lot to me. I have a really good time with this. And it really, it's.
Wait a minute.
wait. Sorry. Anyway.
No wet t-shirts today.
I'll do it. 50th episode.
That's great.
Isn't it cool?
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
Can I ask you a question? Because somebody, when I mentioned your name, somebody said something about a blowtorch. Oh, is that my blowtorch? No, what is the line?
Oh, my God. That was DC Cab.
Okay. Yeah, because ask her if something about the blowtorch.
Bill Maher and I became really good friends in that movie because... I didn't know whether I wanted to do it, but they were paying me so much money and I was, I had to take a trip to California. I read the script, but I don't think I read it well enough. And, and it was an offer. So, you know, I called my agent and I said, oh, get me out of this. And he said, stay with it. You'll get in more trouble if you get out of it than if you stay in it. And it turned out to be great fun.
You know what? It was iconic.
Joel Schumacher was a sweetheart, and Mr. T and Gary Busey and Paul Rodriguez. I mean, all these people who came out of this movie. But I played a woman who was having an affair on her husband. And he came and he was confronting her, and she took a blowtorch from the window and she sprayed all over the place. There was a stuntman, of course, who did that. But, something about it. I don't know.
Is that my blowtorch? Or somebody said something like, what was it? There was a great line, though, because somebody yelled it at me when I said I was going to see you. They go, ask her if she's coming. I said, okay.
Jesus. Now you're from Philadelphia.
They usually mention like lines from Woody Allen, the Woody Allen movie Stardust Memories. I forgot the lines now.
And how about my favorite year? That one looked fun.
My favorite year was another, you know, really special movie.
And Peter O'Toole, that's
Peter amazing. O'Toole. I mean, Lord have mercy. He was just so unbelievable and such a gentleman.
It's so funny. With all due respect, look at Sammy. She's got the thing on her face. To Peter O'Toole, watching Family Guy last night, they mentioned Peter O'Toole and Pete, and Peter Griffin goes, ah, what a fabulous actor. And he, and his first name and his last name are, what is it, phallically correct, Peter O'Toole.
Oh, Peter's a tool.
Yeah, they're both.
Peter O'Toole. But anyway. You're from Philadelphia.
Yeah.
I was born in now historic Levittown, Pennsylvania, Lower Bucks County. Mm-hmm. Grew up in Nashville, Tennessee. Mm-hmm. But Philly is a cool place.
Yeah, it is. It is a great place. Going back in October, my nephew's getting married.
Ah, congratulations. And, what is his name?
His name is Daniel LaPera.
Congratulations, Daniel LaPera and bride and family.
And yeah, I'm very close with my family still. I have a sister in Connecticut, and my other sister lives in outside of Philadelphia. And yeah, you know, I think family is really important.
Absolutely. I have a sister that lives in, but two of my sisters were living in Goldsboro, PA, the top of the Pocono Mountains, a teeny little town. Mm-hmm. And we lost my sister Deb a couple of years ago, but my sister Laurie still lives there. Mm-hmm. And I was planning a trip. Well, I'm going to New York in October for a wedding.
Mm-hmm. I might be going too.
That's sweet. When I'm going. October.
I'm going to the 7th for about 10 days. Mm-hmm. Anyway, for Dr. James Harris' wedding. And, I wanted to take a little – I haven't been back to that area because I consider myself growing up in Nashville, Tennessee. Mm-hmm. That's where I first learned to masturbate. My parents were buried there, and I went to college. I was senior class favorite in 1979 there. So, you know. The point being is from birth to the age of 13, it was just in the exact wonder years scenario, which I'm very proud of. And I would like to go back and check out the neighborhood. My brother did a couple of years ago on a business trip, and he said, you know, everything's really teeny tiny and it looks kind of, you know, worn and that sort of thing. But still, but in the dialect, you never lose. I didn't even catch that in you. People say to me all the time, they're like, are you from Philly or Maryland? And I have not lived in that area in 40 years.
Well, they talk like, I'll have a hamburger, french fries, and a Coca-Cola. Mm-hmm. And whatever you do, pray it doesn't snow.
Pray it doesn't snow. What a.
I mean, it's just, you know, up air. Where are you going? I'm going up air. You know, I mean.
Now, what part of Philly are you from?
Overbrook. Yeah.
Nice.
So we lived a little outside, you know, just on the edge, like with Upper Darby.
Upper Darby, that's a beautiful, beautiful country.
Yeah.
And where I grew up, you know, literally it was like 2 miles from where Washington crossed the Delaware. Mm-hmm. Washington's crossing the park and all that sort of thing. Yeah. And Bowman's Tower was one of my first childhood memories that I've forgotten all about because it's probably this big, you know, but I remember my father leading me up there. Aww. We'd go there on, you know. That's probably why I'm terrified of heights.
Mm-hmm. I am too.
Because you're smoking a Camel going, come on. Let's get just kidding, Daddy.
You were smoking a Camel.
I am now. I would like to promote tobacco smoking on the Bob Dean Show. Yay. I wouldn't like to promote it. Sorry. We're not supposed to show brands. The reason why I say this is because I am so over – you know, everybody bitching about secondhand smoke. Now, wherever you go, it's marijuana smoke. Come on, you guys.
I don't like the smell of that.
I like marijuana smoke.
Well, it doesn't
matter. I like to smell it, too. Like
I'm not saying that it's ugly or whatever, but it's whatever.
I think you should do snuff.
Seriously, snuff is probably cheaper than cigarettes for like 10 bucks a pack, which is cheap in Los Angeles.
$10 a pack now?
Yep.
You know why they try to make you kind of discourage you from smoking? Yeah,
I heard they're 20 in New York.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
$20 a pack.
People are turning tricks in there.
Wow. So it's $1 a cigarette.
Easily. Now, I wouldn't smoke if it didn't make me look so cool. Now, may I?
I look good smoking, too.
Okay. Before, after. Hello.
So suave.
Welcome to my party.
Yeah, well, it was so glamorous in the movies. I mean, everybody smoked in the
movies. I remember I thought about smoking, and I was like 14, and I went when they had those quarter photo booths. And so I had my hair all done, and I'm sitting there puffing on a cigarette to see what I look like before I decide if I'm going to smoke. But I threw up on my girlfriend's hair while I was ironing it. It wasn't pretty.
Oh, that's funny.
Only on the Bob Dean Show. Yay. You vomited on your girlfriend's hair while you were ironing it.
I was straight. I got it straight.
There you go.
Wow.
I went home and told my mother that I tried to smoke and I threw up. She goes, see? That's all she said.
Mm-hmm. I was telling Dennis the other day about Paula Brown was my first girlfriend.
Paul Brown?
Paula.
Oh, I was going to say.
And she's a lovely, lovely lady. I knew her friend, but they lived three or four houses down. And she was my kindergarten girlfriend, but we were, you know, they had a swimming pool in the backyard. We were over there swimming.
With a board, a diving board?
With a diving board.
Okay, just checking.
Yeah, they had a diving board. We had a slide, but not a diving board. Anyway, the point being is that her grandfather, God rest his soul, who was probably, I guess, maybe 60 at the time, was like this very stern-looking guy with a big hole in his throat, sitting right there by the pool. And we're like 5 years old, split splash, and I remember
you
going.
You throw him in, right?
No, okay. But he took a cigarette and he put it. He went oh, with God. His zipper. He goes.
Oh, I know that's oh, what people God. Did back went, then. They'd have emphysema tanks on and be smoking.
Well, that's what encouraged me to smoke.
Yeah, I know, because you thought I'm going to look so good with that in the future. I'm going to start now.
Jesus.
Well. It's led to, you know, my receding hairline and...
I don't think so.
I don't know. That might come just naturally.
Well, you know what?
I think it's the testosterone.
The testosterone injecting. I told y'all, did I say it on air already that the last episode or the one before, I looked like a friggin' walrus with a man bun?
It was so hot.
Because I'm wearing a red polo shirt like this, and I put the headphones on like this. Okay, did it do it?
I wish.
See?
I got to watch
it. Uh-huh. A walrus with a man bun.
Holy crap.
I'll never forget my father. I was, I think, 19, and I was in the kitchen, and I thought he was home, and my girlfriend came over, and she used to smoke cigarettes. My father was convinced that she was ruining me. Anyway, and so we were smoking, and he comes in, and he sees all the smoke hanging around the light. He said, are you smoking? I said,
I'm thinking.
No. What's that? Oh, well, you know. Gene
it's
was
a
here.
Halo.
I was thinking really hard.
We burned something in the oven, and it was like, you know, it smells of smoke.
Oh, my God. What a bust.
Yeah. My father was so strict. So strict about everything. Ugh.
Well, we have this neighbor that lives right across, no names mentioned, Roger, who lives like right from here to that door over there. And we are pretty conservative about it. We, you know, are smoking. You know, I smoke inside the house, and I make no apologies for it. I eat red meat. Mm-hmm. I'm a Republican. I don't have a fake. Well, I'm kind of on the borderline Republican. The point being is
well,
that
socially liberal.
Well, you know, I'll kick anybody's ass against me, but Donald Trump. What's all those three? The point being, though, is that. If by any chance there's one whiff of tobacco, it's like bam, 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 bam on the door. And what? I'm like,
and he used to be a smoker.
What happened to those ashtrays that used to suck the smoke up?
Those were such a great invention. Oh, yeah, I remember those. Fat operating.
I can smoke in my apartment. I moved in 14 years ago, and
pass them out
at the airport. It was smoking and pet friendly. Now it's built. And my apartment, the people that own my building are wonderful. They are absolutely wonderful. But now it's, you know, it's non-smoking and non-pet friendly.
Oh, no. They changed it and you have all those pets.
Well, they know
have to get out? Do they want you to get out?
No, not at all. I am like grandfathered in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Which is great because I have five cats and they are all fosters and I have paperwork for them. So if anybody like Joe or Amanda or Jennifer, the bitch downstairs. Oh,
hey, yeah, you better be careful. They're listening.
Please. Well, I hope they are. Anyway, we're about to go run out of time here. aren't we? On the Bob Dean Show. Yay. Oh, do we have time for one question? Do we have time for one question from Just Jump?
Oh, I love those. That game was
great. I'm not running the clock, but I'll do it. Don't ask me if we have time.
But this is Amy Vanderbilt's 1957 Guide to Etiquette.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Okay. The question is, do you feel it's essential for at least the family of the deceased to wear black at the funeral? And what about the children and the men? So, we try to decide, what was she saying in 57 about that?
Black.
Black.
I would just take a black person with me. And then... and wear something low cut.
Stand that person in front of you.
Black dresses from the regular wardrobe and in dull material are usually worn by women members of the family at the funeral. Children wear Sunday school clothes and quiet colors are white. The black chiffon veil is often worn by the bereaved women at the funeral. Stockings are usually gunmetal or black, but dark neutral tones are worn too. Ordinary street clothes, such as one would wear to church, are acceptable for others attending a funeral. Men of the family wear cutaways for a large church funeral or dark business suits with black shoes and socks, black or gray ties, and white shirts.
Yeah, thank
That's
you.
That's called
I would have never guessed
boring.
I would just say everybody wears black.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As far as I know.
Yeah, I mean, they do, but they say that white is also...
Yeah.
I remember when Jackie Kennedy went to Robert Kennedy's funeral, she wore white, all white.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Roberts, yeah.
Well, all I know is that if and when I ever die...
I'm wearing chartreuse. And
hello. You know what? Just throw me in a microwave. Donate my organs to science. That's throw me in a microwave. Crisp me up. I was telling this, no names mentioned, and then we'll wrap it up. About 20 years ago, a friend passed living on Miami Beach, South Beach, and he was a very flamboyant, wonderful man, loved by many. And there was a big service, and they all went down to South Point on South Beach, and to throw his ashes over the water. Well, there's like many, many people there, and the person in charge opens up and goes, and it all goes back on everybody. And they're all like,
you have to go out in a boat, idiot.
Wow.
But even then, you have to watch where the wind is.
Yeah, and you can
coming.
Also get in trouble. You have to do it secretly because it's illegal to be dumping all that stuff.
Ah, it's just like I'm being an ashtray.
Yeah, at some place it's illegal. I dumped, terrible to say. I spread the ashes of my grandfather. We spread them in Glacier National Park in Montana. That's
beautiful.
That's nice.
It's really nice.
That's nice.
What is your grandfather's name?
Oh, I don't know. I never met him.
Grandpa.
I would like to thank you all for tuning in to episode 50 of the Bob Dean Show. Yay. And yourself, thank you so much for being our special guest. Dennis Olson, thank you. Sure. Kathy St. George. Just trying to stay off the curb, baby. Love you. Joe.
Unless I'm working.
Sammy. Zach. Please, please, please subscribe on iTunes to The Bob Dean Show. Yay. Listen on Stitcher, on my website, bobthestrollycomic.com, and now watch on YouTube. Thanks, y'all.
With your porn.
Thank you.
With your porn. Yay. Goodbye. Yeah. Thank you.